I want to talk to you today about having high expectations. Having high expectations. I am often struck in my conversations with fellow Christians at how little they really expect in their relationship with the Lord. Do you know that many people expect to meet people who will change their lives? Some may be out there looking for a spouse. Happy St. Valentine's Day. Some may be looking for a mentor, someone at work who can really help their career star to rise. But I think we all expect to meet people in life who have changed our lives or will change our lives for the better. But why is it that when it comes to their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, so many people expect so little? I mean, imagine Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us and set us free, and most people just figure, well, I guess it's normal to be angry or struggling with addiction or bitter, or I can't control, you know, myself sexually, or whatever a person might be struggling with. They think that's normal. They don't really expect that to change. Brothers and sisters, I want to ask you to have some high expectations. Did you hear what was said in the second reading today? It says here, if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection? He goes on to say, if the dead are not raised, Jesus Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is in vain and you're still in your sins. But brothers and sisters, I got news for you. Jesus is raised from the dead, amen? But you would sometimes be astonished to walk into some Christian congregations and you would walk into that room, maybe that's a Catholic church, maybe some other church, you would walk in and you would never know Jesus had been raised from the dead. You'd think you were at a funeral instead. People looking at their watch and people can't wait to get out of there. When will this thing be over? You would never know. There's no joy. There's no excitement, no anticipation. Just let's keep this thing as painless as possible and let's get it. It's like going to the doctor to get a shot. Hello? Brothers and sisters, I hope that this congregation knows that Jesus is alive and that he's risen from the dead. And that he's offering you and me a completely new life, a totally transformed life. But do you have high expectations? Again, I ask you, do you think it's just normal to be in bondage to anger? Is it normal to be in bondage to sexuality or to alcohol? Is it normal to be resentful, thin-skinned, egotistical, bitter? Is that normal? Not for a Christian. That is not the normal Christian life. And if we experience those things in our life, and come on, we all do and we all have some of those things, maybe not all of them. But brothers and sisters, the first thing to say is, I'm running a temperature. Something's wrong. You know, when you start to notice your temperature's running high, you say, something's wrong. And so the Christian who notices that their moral life or that some aspect of their attitude or their weighed down with suffering or sorrow or bitterness or depression says, this is not normal. And they run to God and say, I know that you didn't die on the cross so that I could be in bondage to anger. I know that you didn't die on the cross so that I could just throw temper tantrums and be in a rage and drive recklessly. I knew that you died to give me authority over my anger. I know that you died to give me authority and self-control and joy and serenity and peace. And Lord, I'm expecting a complete change of life. I hope you have high expectations, because last time I checked, it's Jesus who died on that cross, and Jesus is God. And Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. So I ask you again, do you have high expectations? Do you know that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and that he's offering you and me a completely transformed life? That is the question before us. Now, that leads us then to the Beatitudes that we heard. Now, this is a little different than Matthew's version, but it's similar. But I want to say to you a little word about the Christian moral life. I think some people think of the Christian moral life as a long list of to-dos. You got to do this, you got to do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. Now, at one level, it is. But brothers and sisters, please understand something. The Lord is not giving, in the Christian moral life, the Lord is not giving you a list of things to achieve. The Lord is giving you a list of things to receive. And it's a very different outlook. It's very possible for someone, a preacher such as myself, or someone such as you listening to a sermon, to hear some moral exhortation and say, oh gosh, I gotta try harder. I gotta start controlling my anger. I gotta start living more chastely. I gotta start, you know, and the list gets longer and longer. Hello? And before you know it, you're worn out. Amen? Brothers and sisters, that is not the Christian moral life. The Christian moral life is not something we achieve. It is something we receive. It is a gift that God wants to give us. That's the good news. Pulling out a long list and saying, you better pull this whole thing off or else, that's not good news, is it? You might as well say amen. That is not good news. I've got a list. You say the Old Testament had a list, but Jesus gave us a list that's even longer. Oh, no. More spiritual push-ups. Try harder. Mm-mm. That's not good news. You might as well say amen. The good news is this, that what the Lord is telling us in a gospel like this is not so much a prescription as it is a portrait. What are the Beatitudes? What are any of the moral statements and moral exhortations of the New Testament? They are simply this, that this is what a transformed human person looks like, sounds like, acts like, and is like. A transformed human person, Jesus starts out by saying, is poor. Poor in spirit, as Matthew puts it. We'll look at the history of that in a minute. But again, hear the invitation that the Lord is giving you. He's saying, don't you understand something? You don't have to be wrapped up in this horrible worldly thing where you got to get more and more and more, and you know it wears you out. The Lord says you could actually be satisfied with less. And so it is that I can do that for you. That is my gift to you. He's not saying to you, you better get rid of it all. He's saying to you, don't you understand I can help you to let go of this constant drive, this lifestyle that wears us out. Our lifestyle is so, our standard of living is so high that it takes 2 and 3 and 4 incomes sometimes to afford it. And we don't know our kids, we don't know our spouse, we're worn out, we're tired, we're cranky, and if we're lucky, we get 2 weeks of vacation. And what for what? A bigger house that you never get a chance to live in because you're always out working, doing the overtime. Again, the Lord says, I can set you free. You don't have to be on that treadmill where you gotta have more and you gotta have more and you gotta keep up with the neighbors. They put up a big fence, you gotta put up a big fence. They got a beamer, you gotta get a beamer. You can be free of all that. Are you praying, church? Blessed. Blessed are the poor. Blessed. Oh, church, you see, the Lord is saying, I can set you free. He's not saying to you and to me, all right, pull out your wallet, pull out your checkbook. If you earn more than $28,500, you're not poor, you don't qualify, you're not blessed. It's not about the amount of money you have. It's about your heart. Amen? It's saying, the Lord is saying, I can set you free from bondage to material possessions. I can set you free from bondage to the world that keeps you in all this bondage. And I can make you begin to long for heaven like you've never longed for heaven. And to realize that the greatest treasure in your life is the Lord Jesus and what he's done for you and his word and his sacraments. And that won't just be lip service. I'd rather have Jesus in silver and gold. Well, fine. That can be lip service. You know that, amen? But to be able to say from the depths of my soul, I really would have Jesus more than silver and gold. And to have it really be true, that is a gift that the Lord can give. But if you're waiting for your flesh to pull it off, you're going to wait a long time. The flesh cannot do this. This has got to be a work of God. Did you hear what the first reading said? Cursed is the man who trusts in flesh. Whoa, that's a pretty strong statement. Cursed. Cursed is the human being who puts his trust in flesh and seeks his strength there. Church, your flesh can't pull it off. Neither can mine. It won't happen. The flesh says, what do you mean, blessed are the poor? I want more. You know your flesh is saying that. If you think it isn't, I got news for you. You're lying to me. Because the flesh will not accept this kind of a statement. Only the Spirit and the Holy Spirit of God interacting with our human spirit can really make this happen. But our flesh doesn't want to have a thing to do with poverty. Doesn't want to have a thing to do. It wants more, not less. The flesh cannot and will not accept. Cannot accept that. What do you mean, blessed are those who mourn? That's stupid. Blessed are those who mourn. Now, mourn here doesn't just mean, my car got scratched, or my 401k is down, or even really that I've just lost a loved one. The mourning that's involved here, and I don't have a long time to go through it all with you, but I'll just say this, that who are those who mourn? What does it mean? Who are the biblical mourners? Those who mourn are those who see the awful state of God's people, who see that God is not known by them, that they do not glorify God, that their lives are in conflict with what God teaches. And they mourn, they grieve over the sad and terrible condition of God's people. And the Lord is saying, when you mourn like that, you begin to speak the truth in love. You begin to console and encourage, and you begin a work that brings consolation and peace. You begin to put meaning into your life and into the lives of others. If you're mourning, I promise you, you're going to be consoled. So again, but the flesh doesn't want to do that. The flesh says, I don't care about other people. I just want to look at what I'm doing and pay attention to me. Only the Holy Spirit of God can do this, can change our hearts so that we really begin to grieve and to weep with those who weep and to see their struggles and to be able to reach out and to mourn with them and to mourn for them, even if they're not mourning for themselves. We mourn for them. Lord, they're lost like sheep without a shepherd. And we begin to teach them at great length. The Lord can give you this gift. The Lord can give this gift to us. So all of these beatitudes and the whole moral life, I want to suggest and declare to you today, is not a human work. It is God's gift to us. And I promise you, brothers and sisters, the Lord can be faithful, faithful in this gift that he's giving to us. And again, I ask you, are you expecting great things in your life? The Lord has done great things for me. Amen? Great things. And I'm going to be a witness for him that he's doing great things in my life. But again, the first step is to expect a complete change. That the Lord can give you and me a new mind and a new heart so that our priorities are different. We're not running after all the wealth, the power, the popularity of this world. The Lord says, woe to you when everyone speaks well of you. They treated the false prophets this way. You're actually blessed when you're hated by the world, because I got news for you. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy to God. And if you got all your friends in the world, probably puts you in the wrong camp. Your real blessing comes when the world hates you. Yes, the flesh says, that's stupid, that's crazy. We desire to be popular, to fit in, to have everybody think we're great. And then you die. End of story. Woe to you who are wealthy now, says the Lord, because that's all you get. You want a mansion? You want marble floors? You want gold leaf in the ceilings? You can have it. And that's all you get. And then you die. End of story. So the Lord is saying, I can change your mind and change your heart so that you're not pining after things that are passing away, but that you're beginning to desire me more and more and the things of heaven that are waiting for you, that you're in every way growing in desire and love for God, love for your neighbor, love for your family and your spouse, and your whole mind and your whole heart begins to change, and your priorities are no longer the same, and you're satisfied with less. And you say, less is more. And you begin to enjoy what you do have more. The Lord can do this for us, church. And if anyone here is struggling with anger or resentment or bitterness, the Lord can set you free. The Lord can just completely set you free. Early in my life, I struggled a lot with anger. And frankly, looking back at an earlier period in my life, I had a lot of reasons to be angry. But I was in bondage to that anger. And I want you to know today, the Lord, anger is not a big issue for me today. The Lord has set me free. I'm going to be a witness for him that the Lord has done great things for me. And I hope you're a witness too. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is making a promise to every one of you today and to me that the moral life that he gives us, enshrined in the Beatitudes, is his gift to us. It's not an imposition. It's not something we have to do. It is something we have to receive, and the Lord can do it. Is anyone else here a witness that the Lord has been good to you? That he's begun to set you free? Maybe it was from anger, fear, resentment, bitterness. Maybe it was sensuality or lust. But the Lord is setting you free. You may not be what you want to be, but you're not what you used to be. Amen? And the Lord is working a work. And the Lord is faithful. And the Lord is true. And I got news for the world. Jesus has risen from the dead. And he's giving me a new life. And church, I'm a witness. You know, as far as rising from the dead, are you rising? I want to be a witness, and I'll be done here then. I'm going to be a witness for the Lord right now. I'm rising from the dead, church. I said, I'm rising from the dead. When I was 28, there was a lot less of me. And in the 20 years since that time, my body's gotten bigger, but so has my soul. And the body is an expression of the soul. And as I've gotten bigger, my soul has gotten bigger. And God's been good to me. And when I was 28, some of the ladies looked a little more than they do today. And I didn't get too many looks then. I don't get any looks now. But when I was 28, some of the ladies would sort of look, and not anymore. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I would never want to be 28 again. Because the Lord has brought me too far in these 20 years. I would never want to go back. I am more alive than ever. My body is headed towards death. My body is falling apart. My knees are bad. I have trouble genuflecting. I'm feeling like an old man sometimes. But my soul don't feel no ways tired. God's been good to me. I am more joyful, more happy. I enjoy life more. I'm more competent. I'm more courageous. I'm more compassionate. I just thank the Lord. I thank him. He's done so much for me. Some of the sins I used to commit, I don't commit anymore. I don't even want to commit them anymore. Praise God. God's been good to me, church. He's done good things for me, great things. Church, I'm a witness. And I'm not up here trying to boast. I'm just saying what the Lord did for me. It wasn't Charles Pope. If it was depending on Charles Pope and Charles Pope's flesh, I wouldn't even be in this pulpit today. It's only the mercy of Jesus, only his grace, and only his mercy. And he's done all these things for me. And as I'm up here boasting, in the cross of Jesus Christ, I want you to know, I hope you have high expectations too. And I hope that you can do some boasting and that you do have high expectations. And church, I still have a long way to go. You might as well say amen. But I'm a man of hope and I have high expectations because the best is yet to come for me. If you think I am more alive at 48 than I was at 28, wait till I'm 68 and wait till I'm 88. I pray that I'm still here when I'm 88 and I may have to stand at that altar with a walker, but I'll be praising God and telling you what he's done for me because the best is yet to come. Oh, the world's all concerned about what our bodies look like, how big our house is, how big our car is, how big our income, and how much money's in the bank, and none of that stuff matters. That's what Jesus is saying today. None of that matters. What matters is that you're alive in me, and I'm changing you and transforming you. Brothers and sisters, the best is yet to come. If you love God and you trust God, he's going to set you and me free from every stain of sin, from every sorrow, from every bad and negative attitude, and he will then welcome us fully into the kingdom of heaven. Do you long for heaven? Are you yearning and pining for heaven? I don't know about you, church. I know we all have a natural fear of death, but I was thinking of a song this morning and it just said that another day's journey and I'm so glad. See, one step closer to heaven, one day closer to being with God forever. Oh, the Lord's got a gift for all of us, church. And I hope you have high expectations. So I've talked to you today about having high expectations. And church, I beg you, remember, Jesus rose from the dead. Don't let anybody ever walk in this church and have any doubt at all that Jesus rose from the dead. And don't let anyone look at you and have any doubt that you know he rose from the dead and that he's offering you a whole new life and that you're rising from the dead with him. I am more alive today at 48 than at 28 because I'm rising from the dead. Because Jesus rose, I rose too. And as he rises, I rise. And he's risen all the way to glory. And church, as long as I hold to his unchanging hand, I'm on the way to glory. I'm on the road that leads to glory. I have high expectations. How about you? Jesus will change everything and turn us from one glory into another. And so it is, church, the best is yet to come. Amen.